Are you ready? Indianapolis. The time has come. The bell has rung. Get in your seat for School Talk. I'm your host, and my name is Emerson. This is School Talk. You have tuned to the right station at the right time. Sometimes we make the wrong decision, and that decision can change our lives forever. Today you will make another decision, so make the right move and jump on the bus. Here it comes! Woo! School Talk has arrived! Come on, let's go! On School Talk we deal with issues. Issues that involve you, the student. Issues that involve you, the parent. Issues that involve you, the teacher. So get your pen, or your pad, or your personal planner. We're going to take notes. There will be a test. This is School Talk.
Take your seats and get ready. Take your seats and get ready. School Talk is in session. My name is Emerson once again for the 1,217th time now, Mr. Easter. I got two more times.
Wow.
Yeah. I got my microphone turned up here. Yeah, I sure do. Yeah, welcome to School Talk. Hey, I got an awesome guest. Morning, before I get to my guest, I'm going to say School Talk, yeah, main line here, 244-WBDG, is 244-9234. And our email addresses are, I forgot all of my email addresses. Because I like what you do. You do it better than I do. So I'm like, you mention it a lot when you do on the big board, and I just love how you do it, Mr. You just do it.
I don't
so
put
good.
Email up there, though.
You put the contact.
Yeah, yeah.
My email, I killed my School Talk One Yahoo account. I got to get another account on an account that, I don't like Yahoo. I like going to the bank. Can I get a deposit or can I get a withdrawal on it on the behalf that because I don't have an account? And they say no. So that's why I can't get it.
That's
leave that alone. Good morning, Mr. Easter.
Good morning.
How you doing, sir?
Pretty good.
I saw you this morning.
Uh oh.
Before you came in. In the parking lot.
You've been to the post office?
No. Hey, it's Friday, though.
Yes, it is.
Hey, I always ask my students, but you're not my student, what you going to do for the weekend? I used to ask that all the time.
You know, I am going to a restaurant for the first time since last year.
Get out of here.
I'm like going to sit down in a restaurant this
all
weekend.
All right. I should go there and bum rush.
I can't really say because it's... it's a surprise.
A surprise.
And somebody might be listening. So,
ooh, he's not going to the restaurant, y'all.
No. You didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that.
I'll tell you.
We'll clarify it later.
But it's going to be a fun.
This
fun
has been
thing.
A recording of the National Broadcasting Association.
I got that bed in here. So, excuse me.
What can't? There's no excuse for you.
Talking like it's 7:03 in the morning here.
It is 7:03.
I like the morning. I get that, you know, that low voice. Yeah. I can do the overnight shows.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. Loverman.
Welcome back. It's Nat Breeze.
Yeah. It's John.
Yes.
Easter.
It's me.
Yeah, I'm John. Just call me John. John. I'm John. Hi, John. I'm sorry. My mama said be nice when I got guests in the house. I'm already gonna get in trouble, so I'm gonna get whooping already. So go ahead, Mr. Easter.
All right.
What's that thing we call the information you can use?
That's it.
I saw a post you made a post on that big board. You said it was a whole bunch of stuff was on it.
As you can see, it's full.
Yeah.
We haven't had a full big board all year, but a couple of community events coming up. In Claremont, first one is Big Fish Friday night, May 14th. If you're listening on Sunday, this won't make any sense. So 5 to 8 p.m., 3201 Tansville Road there at the Lions Club. I guess it's carry out only, so you can go to that fish fry if you like fish. Also, Claremont Community Cleanup is this weekend from 10 to 12 p.m. They said you can show up anytime, so just show up at the town barn. 3508 Tansville Road. Of course,
Barn.
Arts Alive is back tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
That is awesome. So welcome back to Arts Alive. Saturday, May 15th. You can check their social media for links. So Ben Davis social media, Wayne Township social media. I'll be tweeting out the links for Arts Alive because it's got a really long URL that would take me a long time to say. So just check it out. You can go to the Art Department here at Ben Davis High School on the Ben Davis website and find out the Arts Alive Festival, but it's going to be virtual this year. I guess every school is putting together something for Arts Alive, so that should be great to have Arts Alive back. believe Arts Alive started in 1985. I was a student at Chapelwood Elementary when that came out. So you're listening, of course, to School Talk with Emerson. We'll replay this show at 2 p.m. on Sunday, and your podcast will be on Audio Boom, Apple Podcast, or Spotify, or really anywhere that you get podcasts. People tell me, oh, I saw your podcast. It was on such and such. I'm like, well, we didn't even know we're there, but
wow, awesome.
We're glad we are. We've got some sporting broadcast. I can't talk. What do I teach? We have some sports broadcasts coming up as well. We've got Ben Davis softball tonight as Plainfield visits Lady Giants. Lady Giants lost last night. See, it broke me up. That's what it was. Lady Giants lost last night. Yeah, 4-1. But they're having a pretty good year this year. So that was only their second loss in the MIC.
Oh, that's good.
So they're 4-2 in the MIC. But anyway, tonight they'll play Plainfield in a non-conference battle, 5:30 p.m. And then on Tuesday, we'll have Lawrence North and Ben Davis on
the 18th.
That
is the big board. Woo!
Yeah, so there's a lot on the...
You know what that means, don't you? The students are getting really back in the mix.
We're starting to get back to normal. That's what it means.
Normal. You know, better than Abby normal.
Yep.
And I was laughing because you talked about, you said that.
Because my voice cracked?
No, that was funny, too. But I was trying to be respectful and not laugh at your voice cracking.
It's all right. I laugh at it.
But anyway, yeah. But it was so funny that you said that on Sunday, this maybe this show won't make no sense. My show never makes any sense. My guess, dude, but I
it don't make no sense. It don't make no sense.
We haven't used that one in a while.
Yeah, thank God. I've had some interesting guests and some very knowledgeable people have been on the show for the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They make the show look good. Yeah. make the show look good in the studios. We have an awesome individual. Dr. Harris came to MSD and Wayne in 2003. Something else happened in 2003. We'll go to that too.
What was that?
Yeah, something else happened in 2003.
The show started.
Yes, when we started our show, 2003. So we know something about that year. From the Indianapolis Public Schools as a literacy coach to begin her ministry career as assistant principal at Ben Davis Junior High. And later, Chapel Hill 7th and 8th grade center. In 2011, she moved into the position of curriculum coordinator, overseeing the district equity team, language assistant programs, Title III. On and on and on and on and on and on and on. Damn, she got more stuff. But then she assumed the newly created position of Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer for the District of Wayne Township. Ladies and gentlemen, live in the studio, I like to give you at this time, I really do, I really, really, really do. She's the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Officer of Wayne Township. Dr. Danita Harris. Good morning. Push the magic button.
Thank you. Thank you.
How you doing?
Welcome. I am doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. And thank Dr. Buck. I got that down to a science now. It's doctor. Okay. It's doctor. Great. Glad to have you on School Talk. Glad to see you out there on the World Wide Web. And I'm going to dip all into your business. But first, I'm going to ask you very simple questions. Very simple questions. Where did you go to high school? Where did you go to college?
Okay. I went to Lawrence North High School, home of the Wildcats.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I'm an Eastsider. Been an Eastsider all of my life.
Okay.
Graduated in the early 90s. I'm going to leave it at that.
You're still a young person
too.
In real.
Yeah, all right.
Y'all puppies.
Graduated in the early 90s. Then I went on to get my undergraduate degree from Indiana University, Bloomington, Indiana.
Ooh, me too.
All right.
My kids went there.
Yeah.
Yes. I went down on groups. I can't tell you the year, but early 90s groups. And I was first generation college student.
Congratulations.
In the groups program, which is still alive and well. So I'm excited about that because it does give first generation students an opportunity to go to school, that summer, and kick off. Then I went to get my master's degree from Butler University. I always say in the traditional program because there's a lot of EPPSP people out there, and that's a different administrative program, but it was back in the day, so it was the traditional program. And then I got my doctoral degree from Purdue University. Yes, and so I have my superintendent's license as well. So, that's a little
brains
bit.
Up in the house, y'all. Push the magic button for knowledge, y'all. Yeah. So you can learn something when you go to school and do a lot of crazy stuff. It's awesome. You presented for a lot of different organizations in your small tenure since just you've been in education. But how did you get deep? How did you get to where you're at? Why you got to, like back in 2003 when you came on for IPS? What were you thinking? Did you want to be a teacher? Did you want to get involved with kids? Did you want to get involved in education? What was your mindset way back?
Way back, my mindset has been and still is to always make a difference. I believe that every person that is here on this earth is here for a plan and a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our job is to find out what that plan and purpose is. But ultimately, I believe everyone's plan and purpose is somehow to make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so just going through my educational career, I had teachers in high school who believed in me, who invested in me. And so when I went to college, I decided that I wanted to be a teacher because I saw the difference that they made in my life. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make that difference in the lives of others.
You saw something. Something happened. I'm dipping into something that had to happen. Cause something clicked somewhere. Because, okay, when you were the assistant principal of Bendivis Junior High School in Chapel Hill, 7th Grade Center, from there you went into something different. Something clicked. Did something click? Because you went into, you came out from being the principal, but you went into something deeper. Like your position, you got a deep position.
Yeah, it's deep.
It's deep.
It's deep.
Oh boy, we're gonna dig into it, but it's deep. Transformation or just something, a progression or something natural, or you just saw something that took you into a realm, because now you're dealing with people and issues. I mean, as a teacher, as a principal, you deal with issues. But when you get into equity and when you get into diversity, you're dipping into some deep, deep personal, you know, walking on ice, walking on eggshell type issues.
So I will tell you, one of the great things about Wayne Township is that Wayne Township really has always done this work.
Okay.
The work has just evolved. And the work began really back with M.G. Raby with the DSIB order, right?
Okay.
So I think what has happened is, and the reason why is because now diversity, equity, inclusion in a lot of places is like the new theme. It's mm-hmm. it's a buzzword, but not for Wayne Township. Wayne Township has done this work since DSIB.
Yeah.
But we've not necessarily called this position, right? It's a new position. So we've not called it diversity, equity, inclusion. But if you've been a West Sider for a long time, or if you've been in the district for a long time, you might know it as the Human Relations Advisory Council, right?
Okay,
so
right.
It has continued to evolve and grow bigger. And it has continued to deal with the issues that have arisen in our society as they have come to be.
Mm-hmm.
So just like we were dealing with DSIG back in the 70s, now we're here in the 21st century. And we're dealing now with a lot of the systems that we're seeing. So Wayne has always done this work. So I want to be clear about that for our listening
Love
audience.
Love it.
You mentioned that Human Relations Advisory mm-hmm. Council. My mom was on that when I was in uh-huh. high school. She was on that in that time. So that's going back, we'll say again, to the early 90s mm-hmm. when I was the student. So that's pretty cool.
I forgot that.
Right.
I got Her picture's on my wall.
And you mm-hmm. mentioned the legend, ward. Too, mm-hmm. M.G. Raby.
And my wife met her daughter just last week.
Oh, okay.
And for love of money, I can't think of where she met her at, but she was somewhere, and my wife asked her, are you M.G. Raby's daughter? She said, yeah, it was some event somewhere. It was crazy. And then I had to look at my award that I got from M.G. Raby mm-hmm. for a community member. It was awesome. But not, you're right. So... It's just a new name, but it's been there forever and ever and ever since we've been here, since 2003 at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now,
Dr. Law. So I am just really picking up where they left off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm just picking up where they left off, and the work has evolved. And, you know, and we see that as we look at the news and different things that are happening.
That is good to know. That is awesome, because you just broke the news now, because, mm-hmm. you know, you caught me on that one. You caught the host on that one, but she's all right.
All right.
That's not that hard to remember.
Maybe I can be a co-host. Is that what that means?
Hey, bum rush my show. Anytime you want to bum rush my show. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense. I want to dig deeper, too, to some of the things and with, that you deal with every day. And then you went, you did go to a conference, or you participated in the panel back in September 1st, 2020. And it was called "The Educators Must Challenge a Racist Language and Actions." And it was I read something. It was really interesting because it was kind of deep. Really, it was deep. And at this conference, they were talking about how, now, if we deal with teachers and students, I'm gonna bring it right home. Some of the research that showed that racism just as present in teachers' attitudes and actions as it is in general population. Now, and I'm not saying that Wayne Township has racist teachers. I'm not saying that all teachers are racist. I will just say that since we're part of the population, you got people all over the place, different people. So I can see that being true, because no matter what you do, police officer, master salesperson, car salesperson, we're all different. And we all have different attitudes. So there could be racists everywhere, mm-hmm. and you not know it. Mm-hmm. But since we're dealing with in the education series, you made a comment, and I quote you on this, you have to openly reject the racist behaviors of your colleagues so your science is not misconstrued, as I said. I'll say it again. You have to openly reject the racist behaviors of your colleague so your silence is not misconstrued as acceptance, mm-hmm. end quote. Now, I'm not saying you're talking about anybody, but I can take that quote and use it in my business, mm-hmm. where I work at. I can take that quote and use it in the circles that I run into, because I hear crazy stuff. Sometimes I don't know what I just heard. Did I just hear what I think I just heard? Mm-hmm. And then you wonder, do you say something? Because they're your friends or your powerful. They might not know what they just said. Right. How do you react? How you deal with that? That's got to be tough.
I think it's really tough because, like you said, a lot of times when we work with people, not only are they our colleagues, but they are friends. We've somehow developed a relationship. And when we hear those things in different spaces, they're called microaggressions. I always preface that by saying that there is really nothing micro about an aggression. but there are things that are said that cut deeply, and they cause emotional wounds. That extend way beyond the physical, what we see, right? But those emotional wounds are inner. They cause relational wounds. So sometimes people just stop speaking and someone is left thinking, yeah. Why did they stop talking exactly. to me? Because I did not confront what you said. And sometimes we get it misconstrued because, you know, people will often say once confronted, well, that wasn't my intent. But it's not about intent. It's about impact. Mm-hmm. It's not about what you intended to do. It's about how that person felt and what they received from what you said and how that cut them deeply. And so you may also have heard people say that, you know, silence is violence. Because definitely when we don't say anything, we turn a blind eye to something that we know is hurting other people, whether that be you as the individual, whether that be another student. But we don't help the person get better, or we don't help the person be made aware uh-huh. of their words. And so they will continue to repeat that action if we just remain silent. So I feel like we have a duty and a charge as we look out for one another to say, hey, do you realize what you said? Or even posing a question to say, look, I heard you say this. Is that what you meant? Yeah. And then go a little bit deeper into that. I think it depends on the relationship you have with that individual. Mm-hmm. That depends on how you talk to that individual about what you heard them say. So it could be through questioning. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I heard you say this. Is that what you meant? Or what did you mean by this? But I think it's important that you confront that issue head on, because like you said, the person may not realize it, but we can't allow them to go on saying certain things that we know are hurtful or harmful to other people.
Makes sense. Easter?
I was just going to say that's really powerful, because you can, whatever your intent was, you don't get to choose how that impacts somebody. You know, something you say, it could be a small comment. Something, and yeah. it happens to me sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody will say something about LGBT issues, and it impacts me because I'll hear something. It didn't mean to say anything, but you're right. You don't get to choose how that impacts somebody. And you know, that's why we have to be careful.
Yeah.
Well, and have that dialogue. And when somebody comes to you and says, now, listen, I know you probably didn't mean anything by this, but this affected mm-hmm. me in this way. You yeah. have to listen to that. And you know, what I found too, especially in teaching, is I don't take things personally anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When somebody comes to me and tells me how that's impacting them, they're trying to tell me, hey, listen to me. This is how this affected me. And you don't internalize, I mean, you don't say, well, you know, you immediately jump on the defensive right. then, because maybe you didn't mean to say anything, mm-hmm. but you just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But ignorance is not an excuse either. So when someone comes to you and they're trying to tell you their truth, and, you know, you got to listen.
Yes.
And you got to realize, okay, words do have power and they can cut.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what your intention was, this is how it was perceived. This is how it was received. And that's the key, at least for me.
In Wayne Township, who is your audience? Is it the teachers? Is it the students? Is it the parents? Or is it all?
I would tell you, I've been in this position for, I believe this is my 11th year.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, for probably the past 9 years or so, our audience basically, and I say our audience because I'm one of many. We actually have a district equity leadership team that okay. is comprised of several educators in the district. And that is also very powerful because I'm one person. And in this work, you need several voices. Yeah. You need a team of individuals, like-minded individuals. But it goes back to that diversity piece, because we're all diverse. We have teachers on that team. We have guidance counselors on that team. We have a cabinet member on that team. We have, you know, district level administrators. So we are diverse, so that when we come and we talk about DEI, we're talking about it from multiple perspectives.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
How it impacts the cabinet level when they're, you know, talking to the board about policies, you know, how it impacts principals when they're looking at the day-to-day operations of their building, as well as the data that they have to collect, all the way down to how it impacts the classroom teacher and the students, how we have discussions about sensitive topics that show up, you know, in our society that we know students bring to them, that they carry with them based on conversations that they have at home.
Okay.
So that district equity leadership team is essential in helping me to drive this work in the district. And our superintendent, I have to say this about him, is very supportive in this work and always has been. And so that makes it a whole lot easier because of the serious nature of this work. So right now our work is geared towards our teachers. This year we opened it up and we have actually a Wayne Equity channel where it's on YouTube. People can go and visit that. And we have a Wayne Equity website. People can go visit that. But this year we opened it up to have community circles where we really reached out to the community and had conversations with the community geared more towards that. Next year, we will be incorporating more of a hands-on community aspect, and we want our students on board
because
we have to have the voice of the community involved, and we have to have the voice of the students involved. We can't do the work about them without involving them.
You have to educate, because I was going to say, you have to educate people, because while I was researching just for the show, I'm 66 years old, and I find myself still have to be educated on some things that I say because of my age. Things have evolved. I didn't know that peanut gallery had a different meaning to it. Peanut gallery, for example, was once used to refer to people, mostly black people, who were sitting in the cheap seats in the vaudeville theaters. I've heard that topic. I've used it, you know, I'm in the cheap seats, but I never thought it was related to black people. And then when you do more research, you find there's some words, some things you don't need to say because they're hurtful. If you don't know, you don't know. If you don't say something to them, then they don't know, and it goes on, and the hurt goes on and on and on. So how do you deal with teachers that didn't think they said anything? How do you bridge that so they can see it? It's because if you don't see it, you don't see it. Now, I get deeper on that because, wow, you speak really well. Where did you go to school? Is that wrong? It sounds like you're giving someone a compliment. But You're not right. That's not right.
Right. That's a form of a microaggression. What I, you know, because who are you saying that to, and why are you saying what? Why are you saying that? You know, why are you saying that? Is it because the is it the expectation for, let's say, a black person to not speak as well as someone else? You know.
Yeah, you're so articulate.
Right. So it's like I'm shocked. Right. So is that a microaggression? But I will tell you something that you said. And I think that's why we call this our journey, that everyone is on this journey towards equity. And we call it a journey because we'll never reach it. I mean, seriously, because look at the language. Look at what you just said that you learned, and that we're still learning about our history.
Yeah.
That we're still learning, you know, where we used to say LGBTQ community. Now we're saying LGBTQIA+. You know, and so language is evolving and we are evolving. You know, nothing stays the same. So we call this work, this equity work, a journey.
Wow.
Because the thing is, it's not that you're there or that, you know, you're way up here and I'm way back here, but it's that we're on this journey together. And we may not be at the same place, but we're committed to learning. We're committed to growing. We're committed to, you know, being lifelong independent learners, meaning I can't wait for the district equity team meeting. I've got to get on Google like you did, Emerson, and research some things on my own so that I am kept up to date with the new terminology and what's happening. But it's all evolving, and we are on this journey because it's changing. And if we don't look at it like that, then we'll always be beating up ourselves or beating up other people for not knowing certain things.
But an individual says something and they think that it was a harmful comment. They don't think they're racist. How can you tell somebody's racist?
Well, there are two different types of racist. There's covert racism and there's overt racism. And I think that when it comes to overt racism, we all know what
that
is.
It's
pretty easy to find that, right? And we can all easily say, oh, wow, this person is exhibiting racist behavior, okay? But when it's covert, right, those are those hidden things. I like to say, just think of the word like cover. Those are those things that are kind of covered up in language, in our, sometimes in a lot of our systems, in our practices, the way we go about things. And so I would say in order to discover that, sometimes we have to use data and we have to look for trends. If we're always, I'm just going to just use this as an example. If we're always hiring this type of person as opposed to this, what is that? What is the policy? What is the practice? Let's look deeper into that. You know, when we talk about racism, it's really about another race thinking that they're superior or better than another one. So we're really talking about institutions and systems. And we're talking about power being at play when we talk about race. Anybody can be a bigot without power being at play, right? Anybody can be a bigot. But when we're talking about racism, we're really talking about institutions, systems, and powers at play. And that usually comes at the form of data, looking at language, looking at practices. That's why looking at data, both quantitative and qualitative, those story pieces, right? If somebody comes to you and tell you something is happening, we have to believe them. And so it's researching those things and getting to the bottom of it so that we can come up, so that we can dismantle systemic oppression and systems in place.
We need more time.
I see
why communities have community discussions when it comes to relationships, because especially dealing with racist attitudes, dealing with diversity, dealing with things you deal with every day, because there's more, because people don't mean sometimes to say what they mean. Sometimes they make comments like, hey, big guy, but you might have offended somebody because they might have been trying to lose weight. All right. But you didn't think it was a racist comment, but you still said something that was wrong. So you got one time, you just got to know what you're saying to, this is a deep topic.
And diversity, equity, inclusion is, race is a part of it. Racial equity definitely is a part of it. But we're also talking about ableism. We're talking about classism. I mean, this is big. When we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, race is definitely a part of it. And it's a part that we are tackling head on. But there are a lot of other things that we also have to be aware of.
That's that language part.
We could do like 2 hours on this.
I think we should. I think we should do a... Okay, that's another question. Do you have community events of that deal with? Are you planning to? Would it be nice? Not bad idea.
We definitely are planning.
As we get past COVID.
Absolutely. We definitely are planning to take this work to a deeper level because this work impacts all of us. And, you know, ultimately, we talk about our community. We're talking about a larger community because our children go out into the larger community. Mm. And it's our job or one of our jobs, one of our roles is to help them to be productive citizens and to know this type of language. And so that they, too, are aware and that we don't continue to repeat these cycles of oppression. Yeah. So we have to educate one another and have these meaningful conversations. It all starts with what we're doing right now is having a conversation and listening to one another.
Yeah, well, I encourage all the teachers and educators in Wayne Township, you know, just get hold of you. You know, if they have to, call you one-on-one, just have those conversations because they can learn something. I know I learned something just by listening to you. And I think it'd be kind of cool to sit over lunch and just talk and say, you know, throw some things away and see what comes back. Because we all got some room to grow.
Absolutely. We're on this journey.
We're on this journey. And I think we're out of time. You got a meeting to go to, Mr. Easter, and you got to go out and save the world. So
I can't save the world by myself. It takes all of us. It's going to take all of us.
Dr. Harris, I think we got another diamond out here in Wayne Township and with you. So I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you are Chief Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Officer for Wayne Township. It's making us look good. I see the history. Mm-hmm. You point to the history back to MJ Rabin, mm-hmm. and you're right. We've been involved in this school district since 2003. Mm-hmm. My show first started in 2003. And you're right. Diversity has always been top of the mm-hmm. line here in Wayne Township. Even when you didn't know it was. It was.
Absolutely.
And that's awesome.
We're going deeper in it. We're going deeper.
Well, thanks for coming in, and we'll do it
Thank
again.
You.
I don't know who we got next week, but you came on and you laid it down. So parents, to the parents, and the teachers. Our students have so much to give. We must teach them to be investors in themselves and others. What you give out, what you're going to be giving back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. Okay, be a copycat. Just copy the right cat. Hey, copy Dr. Harris. Mm-hmm. You can copy her.
Yep.
Copy. You can be just like her or be better. I don't know.
Whatever it is.
You better say the right thing. I know that, though. You better be nice. Because she's coming out there, boy. I tell you, it's okay to be a copycat. Just copy the right cat. Don't get hung with the wrong crowd. And young man, be a man. I can't see you, but you better pull those pants up. You better not be sagging. As Dr. Buss would say, he would say...
Oh, you're going to need to be a hip surgeon.
I should have brought him in the studio right. And let him say it.
By the way, he was in the studio here. I got to compliment him on the tie.
His tie?
A nice looking tie.
I like ties.
I love ties.
He better lay it down. So. Anyway. Emerson got right. My tie. The Spruce Express on School Talk. That's the views of Emerson Wayne Thompson on Giant 90.9. The views of me and my guests. Until next week, I'll see you and I'll hear you on School Talk.
Mr. Mendenhall next week.
Mr. Mendenhall.
Graduation.
Woo, woo, woo. Oh,
PD
already?
Teacher of the Year. Yep.
Oh, man. This year's flying by. I'm getting old.
Me too.
See you next week on Y'all Young School Talk.